Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
The famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
What's up with that? It's Matt and Gravatt, just for Jason Wilde. How's it going, Jason?
Dude, you guys know I love Jim Rutledge, and I know he's out today, but I cannot tell a lie. What's up with that with Matt and Gravatt? I mean, if Jim ever wins the lottery and leaves the show, I think we've got a built-in name right there, and it all rhymes. Awesome. Matt, I do have a bone to pick with you, however.
Oh, no. What did I do?
Well, no, it's not really with you. It's more with Peacock.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I watch the Olympics. You know, obviously, I and even though you did not follow through on your claim that you were going to text me, you did text me on my birthday that you missed me, but then on the day that you had said you were going to text me, you, of course, forgot, which is not at all surprising. Hmm. You know, and our birthdays are pretty close together, so I appreciated that wish. But, you know, I want to be as supportive as I can of you. I was rooting for you and Becca during the trials that you were on, but can I just ask the fine people at NBC to find, it can't be that expensive to find just some really good camera people so you don't have to have four basically stationary cameras that are all being shown at the exact same time. I got vertigo trying to cheer for my friend as I was trying to watch that. There were times where you were in both frames because you were scooching down the ice on one direction, and then so I'm looking at your front and your back at the same time.
Sounds dreamy.
I was completely confused. Well, I mean, you had your shirt on, so it was not as dreamy as it could have been.
Right, exactly.
I don't understand it. I will admit, even after watching you compete in the last Olympics and even having gotten to know you over the years, I still don't fully understand all of the rules. So I just can't believe that they, it was just, the only sound I heard was from other people yelling on other rinks.
Yeah.
Mm. It was really frustrating. Is that a legitimate complaint?
So Peacock doesn't, they just kind of dabble in the curling world. Every about 4 years, NBC gets interested in curling.
They're the Olympic network, though.
Right, right.
Dabble, help me out here.
So the thing is, there's a lot of other streaming services that have kind of been, I shouldn't say a lot. There's two other streaming services that have been used for curling and kind of been fine-tuned by curling a little bit. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I can clip, shots that I make in league because there's constantly cameras going on, and or you can watch live to leagues happening in Madison Curling Club at any given moment. That stream is better than what you from what I've heard people were getting on the Peacock app and trying to watch the Olympic trials this last week. I had a lot of friends that were yeah, saw the first shot, totally shut down, didn't get to watch another shot the rest of the game because it crashed. So I don't know what the right answer is. But apparently watching side-by-side NFL red zone-style curling is not ideal for Jason Wilde.
Yeah, well, maybe that's – you know what? That's a good point. First of all, in fairness, I had no problem with the stream itself. I got everything I needed. Quite frankly, I know it didn't go the way you wanted it to, so maybe I'd have been better off had I lost the stream.
Yeah, maybe.
But I had no problem with that. It's just so – I was just so overloaded, but you just made a great point. I don't watch Red Zone. Usually I'm either covering the Packers game or I'm probably not watching football unless it's one of the primetime games while I'm sitting down and writing and want something on in the background. So maybe it's the old dating thing. it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not Peacock, maybe it's just me.
Just can't handle being overstimulated.
Yeah, well, that's happened a few times, but that's another story for another day.
Well, Jason, you got to watch Matt. I got to watch you. You were on TV recently. Congratulations on the new role. That's pretty fun and exciting.
Television star Jason Wilde.
And it's an entirely new era of Jason Wilde to me. I saw button-up collared shirt Jason. Are you still wearing the collared shirt?
No, I got a Fleet Farm hoodie on right now.
Good. Good. I'm glad that you're back to your comfortable level.
Yeah, I need to stay on brand. But, the folks at WISC-TV and Channel 3000 and Morgan Murphy Media have been amazing. I want to be clear. I was never, ever, ever, ever leaving Good Karma Brands or ESPN Wisconsin. That was never a question. My writing had lost its home when the State Journal decided that they could no longer, they're struggling with some financial challenges. And they decided that one of the places they were going to cut was my paltry salary to cover the Packers. And it was going to be my 30th season covering the team. And I suddenly was without a place to write, which was a little bit scary. And so I'm extremely grateful to them for the opportunity. I look forward to my later appearances in the week on our various shows where I don't talk about me, because you guys know I think it's about the Packers and about what insight I can deliver. I've talked a lot about myself over the last 48 hours, including on television, where Brady Mallory, who is one of their anchors, along with Susan Simon, and then I did my interview with Eric Franke, who I've known for 25 years. This is the kind of stuff that makes me a little uncomfortable. Brady introduced me as a Packers reporting legend, and
okay,
that is not a phrase I would use, because first of all, when I think of legends, I think of like people that are in their 70s. I'm not old enough to be a legend, and B, I haven't accomplished enough to be a legend. So I'm just happy that they gave me a home for my writing. I'm really excited. I've been writing a ton. I'm in the middle of writing right now. When you guys called, Goody had a lot of things to say today in Indianapolis, and I think those are all really important to get to. So I appreciate you guys being so supportive of me. It's been a fun first 48 hours or so, but it's just the start of a really long, awesome journey, and I'm really thankful to them.
Nice. I'm really excited. Maybe off the air I'll hear about your victory laps, because I know if you're anything like me, when I got my radio gig, they're like, oh, you got a face for radio. Well, now you're on TV, you son of a gun. I can't wait to hear about those victory lap stories. Jason, you did mention Goody said a lot going on here.
He did.
I heard from Alex, I might be stealing this from him, you have a conspiracy theory about this tush push anonymity. The Packers submitted it, but maybe it was someone else had pushed the Packers in that direction. You want to elaborate on this?
Can we play the audio just for our fans so that we're all on the same page really quick? Ryan?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. We really haven't had very many discussions about it. I'm sure we will over the next few weeks as we head into the owners' meetings. But so I'm aware that we did, but really haven't had many discussions about it.
So that was Brian Gutekunst talking about the ending of the tush push proposed by the Green Bay Packers. Jason, it away.
There's a couple of things that are weird. First of all, I saw Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV, who reported that it wasn't Mark Murphy and it wasn't Brian Gutekunst who put forth the proposal. Okay, I don't know who that leaves, if it's like, you know, the director of facilities or the janitor or whoever it might be. But they're, you know, one guy's in charge of the organization and the other guy's in charge of the football operation. So I'm, you know, maybe it was Russ Ball. I don't know. But my theory, and I don't think it's the worst. I've had some bad theories before, and Lord knows there are plenty of conspiracy theories in the world these days. But I think that over the years we've seen Mark Murphy as a favorite of Roger Goodell float some trial balloons to see how they would go over. And he did it with expanding the schedule to 17 games. He was the first one to bring it up. And about the idea of eliminating some preseason games to do it, which they ultimately ended up doing. But that Mark Murphy has kind of filled that role for Goodell of, all right, throw this out there and let's see what the reaction is. And so that's where my mind went right away. And obviously Mark Murphy is getting ready to retire. He'll be replaced by Ed Policy in July. And I just thought that Roger Goodell wanted to see what the reaction would be. And who better to ask than his old pal Mark Murphy to throw it out there by making this proposal? Because let's be honest, they're not the only ones who probably think this thing's got to go. And if I was guessing who the team was, you know, I would have guessed the Packers pretty high on the list, because Mark Murphy wrote in his monthly column on Packers.com how much he dislikes the play. So it made sense. But if anybody was going to put it out there, I kind of figured it was going to be the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
Who got abused on it in the NFC Championship game, who got to the point where they kept jumping the snap that the officials threatened to award the Eagles points, which I thought was preposterous. So, again, the fact that the Packers are the team behind it and that it's out there now, I do wonder how that's viewed, because, if you know, I heard something that Nick Sirianni said about how hard they work on it and how he kind of sounded pretty pissed off that the Packers would want to try and get rid of the play. So I'm eager to see what happens from here with the Packers' name on that proposal now.
So you have been covering the Packers for 30 years, and that's an important number because you'll know Goody also mentioned that the Packers haven't changed their draft strategy in 30 years. do you think that there's any chance that this will be the first time in your professional career that you see a different strategy from the Green Bay Packers when it comes to drafting?
I really don't. Now, I did think one of the most interesting things that came out of today was Goody, who kind of said half jokingly, or maybe it was Mark Murphy who was half joking, that he can trade the first round pick if he wants to, and that the idea of, you know, having the Roger Goodell step to the podium right here in Green Bay and say, with the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select, and most likely someone from Georgia, you know, that's great. But, you know, Goody doesn't have a history of trading his first-round picks. Like, the one time that he did make a first-round trade, he actually acquired an extra first-round pick, right? It was in his first draft in 2018. The Packers were picking 14th. He traded back, got not only the 27th overall pick in the first round from the Saints, but got the Saints' first-round pick the following year. I mean, it was a steal from him. Now he used, you know, one of those picks on Darnell Savage, who, you know, started a lot of games, but was not the player that they were hoping for. But, like, he turned one first-round pick into two and then traded back up from 27 to get up to 18 to take Jair Alexander with his first-round pick as GM. So I don't see him giving up a first-round pick. In fact, he just said today that his goal is to accumulate more picks before the draft. So I would expect him to try and add as many picks as he can, and I don't think he's going to want to give up a first-round pick to, say, go get a Myles Garrett or a Max Crosby or a Trey Hendrickson, somebody that can rush the passer.
So do you think that the Packers are going to be selling before the draft?
Well, you know, they're picking 23rd. They do have a pretty good track record. The last time they picked 23rd, they picked our teammate at ESPN Wisconsin, Brian Bulaga. That turned out to be a damn good pick. But, yeah, I could see him moving back to accumulate more picks because he, you know, all of his drafts, almost all of them, this will be his eighth one, he's had double-digit draft picks to choose from. And so, you know, the idea of only having seven, he replaced the one seventh-round pick that he gave up to get Malik Willis by trading away Preston Smith at the trade deadline. So he's, I would think, if anything, he would be trading a first-round pick to move back in the first round to accumulate more picks, not giving it up and having one or more fewer picks because he's out there trying to get an established guy that's going to cost him a fortune.
And it just blows me away. This whole draft strategy that G was talking about for 30 years, this defense – How many times do you think the Packers have had an elite defense in the last 30 years, Jason?
Yeah, they had one. They had one in 2010. They had one during the second half of 2014, I think.
Yeah.
After they moved, they had to move Clay Matthews because of injuries, but he played really well inside, an inside linebacker. I think he even made the Pro Bowl that year as an inside linebacker. But no, they, with all the capital investments, you know, even Jordan Love, who is certainly not at the point in his career where he's established like Aaron Rodgers was, but even Jordan Love made a wise crack about how they'll probably pick a defensive player when he was talking at the Radio Row during the Super Bowl. Like, that is what they've done. Now, I did think it was interesting today, speaking of defensive picks, that Goody kind of went out on a limb for LVN, for Lucas Van Ness, and talked about him as a guy that, you know, he's expecting a big jump from in year three. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but watching him, I haven't seen a whole lot of evidence that gives me confidence that that's what's going to happen with LVN. So the fact that Goody put his name on that kind of a statement, I think, is really interesting, and it makes me wonder if, you know, they've seen some things already from Van Ness during the off season where they're like, hey, this guy's going to, you know, kind of really hit his stride here in year three. If he does, that would obviously help them a lot, and then they wouldn't have to give up a first-round pick to go get Myles Garrett or Max Crosby.
I agree with that, but, like, we've felt the same way about Rashawn Gary. Is like, this next year is his year. This next year is going to be his year. And then we paid the guy hoping that next year was going to be his year, and he's been fine.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're exactly right, Matt. Like, the expectations are higher, whether that's fair or not. I think it is. If you're a first-round pick, you know, one of those guys went 12th, one of those guys went 13th. Those guys are supposed to be elite-level players.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, as you just pointed out, they paid Rashawn Gary elite player money. And he went to the Pro Bowl because he's technically a defensive end, and there aren't that many defensive ends because so many teams play 3-4s. That doesn't, like, it doesn't really mean that much, right? And so, you know, they need him to be better. Now, again, this ties into the not trade in the first round pick, because I don't see them using their first round pick as trade bait to get T. Higgins either, right? I don't think that sounds like the kind of thing that Goody would do. Plus, he had the chance to draft T. Higgins in 2020, and he took Jordan Love. But to me, the question here is Goody going to be proven right or wrong about the guys that they have up front? Because he did say today that they need to get pressure with their front four. You saw how Philly controlled the Super Bowl because their front four were able to pressure the heck out of Patrick Mahomes, and the Packers were never able to do that all season. They had to be creative with fake blitzes, you know, simulated pressures, real blitzes. They don't want to do that. They want to have four guys that can control the line of scrimmage, that can get after the quarterback, and give them a chance to have seven guys in coverage, which will make that defense work better. Well, the only way you're going to do that is either add people that are better than the ones you have, or have the guys that you have be better than they were this year. And if your strategy is to, you know, cross your fingers and hope that those guys are going to play at a higher level, if it works out, great. But if it doesn't, you're going to have another season where you make the playoffs and you're disappointed at the end because you didn't go as far as you wanted to.
All right, Jason. Well, thank you so much for joining Matt and Gravatt, the hairiest show in radio. You got anything else for us before you leave?
All right. I don't need the hairiest show on radio. I thought we had a pretty good title.
We got a workshop. Active workshopping.
All right. Well, let's put Wooly in charge of that because, you know, he's a pretty creative guy. So we'll let him put the finishing touches on our name. But you guys are doing a great job. I appreciate you having me. And I look forward to talking to you guys later in the week when Jimmy's hopefully back and all of us are together. So when is Molly back? I keep checking my calendar.
7 days.
7 days. A week from today, it'll be a Wildy day that she returns?
Oh, man.
I don't know enough about whether Molly's going to be back or not.
You're already backtracking.
I would completely quote me. It's either next Tuesday or Wednesday.
You can quote Matt. It is 7 days from now. It's next Tuesday she will be back on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Perfect. So, yeah, she timed it up right to make sure she could talk with you, Jason.
I'm sure that's exactly what was on her mind when her eternity.
One whole year ago.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Thanks so much, Jason. That was Jason Wilde, who you can hear every weekday from 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch for all your Packers needs. But if you're looking for Bucks information, tune in to the Here District with Marcus Johnson, a weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend, a